We're going to be preaching from the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 47. We desire your prayers this morning. Woke up this morning and really just did not even feel like getting out of bed. I have not felt well at all this morning, but just began to pray and God began to move in me and make me feel better. And so we're just going to let Him lead us. I trust in the anointing of God. I trust in His authority. And I love whenever Brother Greg preaches, every time that he prays, he says, "Lord, take every part of me and remove it and replace it with you." I pray the same way, because it's not coming from a man whenever you have a minister preaching to you. It's coming from God. And that's why you need to listen to it, church. We're not up here. We're not going around nosing in people's business and trying to find out what's going on with you so that we can preach on that. God moves upon you and He begins to minister to a man and tells him what to preach for a reason, because God knows who's going to be in the midst whenever that message goes forth. I've preached messages before when I thought I was preaching to somebody and found out later that it was someone else that God was touching. So I don't have any idea why God gives me the messages that He gives me. But all I know is that He told me, "You just preach it and I'll take care of the rest." And so that's what we're going to do this morning. I was thinking about something that Brother Kurt had said a few weeks ago. He got up after one of our services and come up here. And he made a statement and was just talking about people needing to come and give their all. And not just simply in church, but just in our walk with God. And as soon as he had said that, service dismissed, and that's when Brother Greg had asked me to preach. And Brother Kurt, what he said had stuck with me. And as I was preparing for this message this morning, God really moved on me about that. Because church, I want us to try to think about and consider, what is the real purpose of our walk with God? What is the real reason that we come together and we come together as a corporate body of believers to worship and to praise God? What is the purpose? There are people that sometimes come to church to ease their conscience. There are people that sometimes come to church to please their spouse or to get someone off their back. And let me assure you something this morning. If that's the reason that you come to the house of God, then you're already faltering. You're already making a mistake, because it's not about trying to be a people pleaser or trying to come and worship in lip service, but it's about having a relationship with God. That is why we need to desire to be in God's house. It's not just simply some sort of thing that we do, like when we get up and go to a job through the week or things like that. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to have a habit of going to church, but what I'm saying is that there needs to be a reason deeper than that for us to want to come together and to worship God. And we're going to touch on that just a little bit while we're preaching this morning. In Ezekiel chapter number 47, starting at the first verse, it says, "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without under the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, God, thanking you for the blessings of life that you've bestowed upon us. God, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come and to minister your word. And God, we thank you for each and every person that sits in our midst this morning, Father. Every man, every lady, every young man, every young woman. And God, we just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your Spirit would already have begun to open the ears and the hearts of each one that are here. Father, that we would hear your word, that we would apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And God, that we would be doers of the word and not simply hearers only. God, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the message that you have for us, God. Lord, that you would put aside all the works and the ways of man. And God, that you would just fill our mouth and our lips with the words that you'd have us to speak, God. We pray, Lord, for your conviction from the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, not only to come, Lord, to take part in a service, but that we would come that our relationship with you might be closer. God, that we would not leave the same way that we came. Lord, as in the Old Testament, when they would come into the temple in one way or into the tabernacle in one way, Lord, that they were to leave a different way. God, help us also, Lord, that when we leave this service, that we'll not leave with the same things, Lord, of this life that so easily beset us, but that we'll allow your Spirit to minister to us this morning and to just move in our hearts and our lives. God, touch each heart and life. Deal with lost souls, God. Deal with those that are backslidden away from you. And help us all, God, to understand what our relationship with you is truly all about. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for it is in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I thank God this morning for His presence and for His Spirit. I thank God that I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. And I thank Him that the Bible tells me that He came to give me life and life more abundantly. And I just praise Him for that, and I thank Him for that. I'm thankful that He's made me satisfied within Him. And I thank Him for whenever He gives me a message and wants me to preach it, especially when it's a good message. You know, sometimes as a minister, as a pastor, you get messages that you don't enjoy preaching. But this is a message that I enjoy preaching. And we see here in the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the Bible says that Ezekiel here was having a vision. And in this vision, he was seeing the temple of God. And in this particular instance, he was seeing where that there were waters that were flowing out from under the threshold of the temple. Now, there are many places in the Word of God where we can read about rivers. If you go over into the book of Revelation, you'll find where the Bible talks about a river over there and how that it's running all the time and how that you're freely able to take of that. And church, I want you to know in many places when it's talking about that, it's talking about the presence and the Spirit of God. And I believe right here the same thing was happening. You see, there is no limitation when it comes to the presence and the Spirit of God. It's an unlimited source that comes from God. The Bible says that whenever Jesus was walking with His disciples, that He told them in one place, "It is expedient for you that I go away so that the Father can send the Comforter and that He can guide you and direct you after I'm departing." You see, during that time, the disciples were getting a little bit anxious because Jesus was continuing to talk about His death in Jerusalem. He was talking about how that He was going to go away and not be with them forever. And they were very afraid of what was going to happen when that occurred. But church, listen to me. If you could have talked to them the day of Pentecost when the Bible says that the Spirit of God was poured out upon them, they would have understood then fully what Jesus was trying to tell them. We have a Comforter today. We have a river that flows from heaven itself that can begin to penetrate our hearts and our lives and to give us the calm, blessed assurance that we need to know that we are the children of God. I want you to know something this morning. If you don't know if you're saved, then you're not saved. Let me just be blunt with you for just a little while. The Bible tells me that we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Listen, I know that I'm part of my physical family because I was born into that family. And I know that I'm part of God's family because I was born into His family. If you don't know this morning, then the first thing that you need to do is allow God's Spirit to begin to deal with you and to begin to convict you of your lifestyle, of the sin within you, and get yourself born again. If you don't know what it means, talk to your pastor, talk to me or one of the other preachers or ministers or deacons in this church. They can show you what it truly means to be a Christian. Because church, without having that relationship with God, then you'll not fully understand what it really means to be a child of God. And we need that today. Bible says here that Ezekiel began to see the man here that had the measuring line. And he says that he went out and he measured out 1,000 cubits. Now, a cubit, according to the units of measurement back in the old days, a cubit was from the end of the finger to the end of the elbow, I believe, which is roughly around 18 inches. And so if you begin to do the math on that, you'll find that whenever he did this measurement of 1,000 cubits out, it was about 1,500 feet. He went out there. And he said he went out there and the water was there and it was up to his ankles. And he said, then he measured out another 1,000 cubits, or another 1,500 feet, 3,000 feet, and it was up to his knees. And then he went out another 1,000 cubits, and it was up to his loins. And then he went out another 1,000 cubits, and he said, by this time, it was so deep that I couldn't pass over it. It had gotten me to a place where that I couldn't, it was like a river that was flowing. Church, listen to me. Some of us today in the church, we're satisfied with just getting our feet wet just a little bit. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? We're just satisfied just enough just to get just a little bit of what God has to offer. We'll walk up there and we'll dab our toe out into it just a touch, just to get just something from Him, and then we'll back off. Listen, if you want to experience God unlike anything that you've ever known, you need to go just a little bit deeper than that. Some of us need to go out to where it's up to our knees. Some of us need to go out where it's up to our loins, and then some of us need to just completely let God's Spirit begin to overwhelm us. Listen, that's whenever things start getting good. It's whenever you just put yourself aside and say, God, just rain down of Your Spirit upon me. Just fill me from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. Oh, I'm going to tell you something, church. I've had revivals by myself before. Just me and Jesus sitting in my cubicle or sitting in my vehicle. Start listening to a great gospel song or listen to a preacher on the radio, and God's Spirit would begin to make intercession with my spirit, and we would begin to communicate with each other. And church, that's what it means to have a personal relationship with God. And that's what it's going to take for us as individuals to get to if we want to see things happen in our homes and in our churches. It has to start with each and every one of us as an individual. Paul, I love the writings of Paul. How that he began to talk about over in the New Testament. I believe it was in Corinthians, but it may not have been. And he talked about the leaven. And he said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of anything can spread throughout. Back whenever I was a kid, my dad was the head deacon of the church that we attended. And whenever it came Easter time, or if it came at the beginning or the ending of a revival, see, used to, that's whenever we'd have communion and feet washing. We'd have it at the beginning or ending of a revival, and we'd have it around Easter time. And whenever we was getting ready for that, my mother, it was her responsibility to make the unleavened bread, and we didn't go out and buy it at the Christian bookstore or anything. We made it. They took flour and they took water and they put it together and they baked it, and that was unleavened bread. It did not taste good. But church, listen to me. Your walk with God doesn't always taste good. Listen, the Bible tells me that Moses, rather than experiencing the pleasure of sin for a season, decided to do what God wanted him to do. It's not always a bed of roses to live for Jesus. There's going to be people that persecute you. There's going to be people that make fun of you. There's going to be people, even as you are an adult, who are going to look down on you because of the fact that you won't take part in the things that they take part in, and because you look differently at things that they look at in a particular way. Church, it's not always a simple thing to do. It doesn't always taste good to walk with Jesus. But let me rest assured with you that one day it will be paid for. One day you'll experience that day whenever the Bible says you'll walk up to Him in boldness, and He'll look at you and say, oh my goodness, you've been faithful over a few things, but I will make you ruler over many. Listen, church, that's what I'm looking for. I don't need the acceptance of people. I don't need the acceptance of family or friends, but I want the acceptance of Jesus. And that's what we all should be striving for. Ezekiel said, I went out and the water was up to my ankles. Some of us are satisfied there. Some of us are satisfied with doing this little bit or doing that little bit and taking part in that, and that's just plenty for us. There's been times before we took the kids swimming, and Kyla, she'd say, well, I'm just going to get my feet wet. Well, a lot of us in the church are that way. Lord, I'll go to the pool, but I just want to get my feet wet. I just want to get just a little bit. Some of us will get up to our knees. Some of us will get up to our loins. But church, listen to me. If you want to be where God wants you to be, you've got to let Him get you completely submerged in His Spirit. And that is exactly where God wants you to be today. In the Free Will Baptists and in many other denominations, we believe in the full submersion of an individual during baptism. Why? Because we want to cover everything up. Amen. I don't want anything to be left undone. I don't want anything to be left uncovered. I don't believe that John the Baptist took a spray bottle and sprayed Jesus with water whenever he baptized him. I believe he went under the water and he come back up. And I believe it's an example for you and I today. Peter said it's an example. It's a something for good conscience. It's for you to know that you followed in the footsteps of Jesus. That's exactly why we believe in that. In church, spiritually speaking, so many of us have never even been baptized in the presence of God. Many of us, we walked down an aisle one time and someone began to talk with us and deal with us, and they would say, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And we'd say, "Yes." "Do you believe that He's the Son of God?" "Yes." "Do you believe that He can forgive you for your sins?" "Yes." And someone looks at you and says, "Then you're saved. Congratulations. You're on your way to heaven." Church, listen to me. The devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. The devil knows that He can save you from your sins. The devil knows that He's the one that He says that He was. But He's not going to heaven. Jesus said, "There'll be many in that day that say, 'Lord, Lord,' that will not enter in, but them that do the will of my Father." There will be those that say, "Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do this and do that in your name? Did we not give to those that had need of in your name?" And He'll say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Church, it's not about the things that you do. It's not about you showing up on Sunday morning or Sunday night. It's not about how much you give in the offering plate. But it's about the relationship that you have with Jesus that's going to determine whether or not you make heaven your home one day. Paul said it's not based on works, lest any should boast. He said, "If I'm going to boast on anything, I'm going to boast on the fact that I've shared in the same things that Christ shared in. That I've been persecuted for His name's sake." He began to talk about the times that he was beaten, the times that he was whipped, the times that he was in darkness, the times that he was in prison, the times that he was stoned. And the list went on and on and on. And he said, "These are the things I'll glory in, because these were the persecutions I faced for the name of Jesus. It's not about the things that God blessed me with. It's not about the great home that I had, or the vehicle that I drove, or the bank account that I held on to, but it's because me and Jesus know each other. We're brothers. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And as long as I have Him, I have everything." And I believe that Paul was one that would have been out way deep in the water. I don't believe he was one that just got his feet wet. Church, we need Christians that are on fire for God today. We need church services where you can feel the conviction of God. I've sat in revival services as a youth and be sitting there and hear ministers preaching and be born again and know that my relationship with God was sure, and still felt the convicting power of God whenever that service was going on. That's exactly what we need today. So many of our youngsters today, so many young adults today don't even know what it means to experience the conviction of God. We've come to a point in our society where everything is tolerated. We want to allow this and we want to allow that, and we don't want you to feel uncomfortable. We don't want to have winners and losers. We don't want to say what's right and what's wrong. Everything is relative. And it's dumbed us down and numbed us away to the point to where whenever we try to tell someone the difference in right and wrong, they just laugh at us. Church, listen to me. In the Gospel of John, Jesus had an interlude with Pilate before His crucifixion. And he looked at him and he asked him if he was the King of the Jews. And he asked him if he was the Son of God. And Jesus told him, "You've said this. This is the truth." And Pilate looked at him back 2,000 years ago and said these words, "What is truth?" And that's exactly what people are saying today. There are so many religions and so many beliefs and ideas that are being taught in our schools and in our universities, so that it doesn't matter what you do or don't do, you can still live forever. Church, that's contrary to the Word of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It does matter what you believe if you want to make it through this thing and spend eternity with God. But if we're simply satisfied enough with walking to the water and just barely dipping our foot in and saying, yes, Lord, I'll do this part, but I don't want to do that part. I don't want to get out any farther than this right here. I don't want to go out there where the waters is moving like a river. God, that stuff scares me. It bothers me. It gets me a little bit worried whenever I see people that get excited in Jesus. Listen to me, church. We need to be comfortable when we see somebody lift their hand and praise God. Oh, we need to get excited when someone lets out a shout. I can remember I was 8 or 9 years old at Wanna Grow Freewill Baptist Church just outside of Hector, Arkansas. My great-grandmother was about 74 years old, and my uncle, who'd been lost, backslid away from God for about 20 years, he'd been coming to church services. His wife had been making him. They'd been coming, and the family was excited because he hadn't been coming to church for over 20 years. We had a revival service one night, and he was sitting back there. He claims that you could probably see his fingerprints in the pew from where his hands was digging in, because God's conviction was so strong on him and he didn't want to let go. But he finally walked an aisle and come back to God and gave his heart back. My great-grandmother sitting over there let out a shout unlike anything I'd ever heard, like to have scared me to death. People began to shout. You'd have thought we was Pentecostals by what was going on there. But church, listen to me. The Bible says when one comes to Jesus that the angels in heaven begin to have a victory lap. They began to shout and to exclaim the praises of God because one more has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Church, listen to me. When someone gets saved, it means something to God, and it ought to mean something to you and I. We can go to a Razorback game and we can hoop and holler and shout and yell and jump up and get excited. And when the umpire or the referee calls the wrong play, we can get mad and stomp our feet and get excited. But church, whenever we see a lost soul die and go to hell, we just stand aside and don't act like anything's happened. What has happened to God's people today? We've got our feet wet and said we're satisfied. You say, preacher, this is hard preaching. I know it is, church. Listen to me. It ain't always about good things that you hear. There's times for exhortation and there's times for reproof, Paul said. Go back and read in the Corinthians and the Galatians and the Ephesians how many times Paul came to them and gave them a tongue lashing because he said, I love you enough to want to tell you the truth. And sometimes we need to hear that. Brother Kurt said that we need to come and give it our all. We need to come excited to be in the house of God. I don't come to church to make my wife happy. Excuse me, I don't come to church because I know it's good for my kids. I come to church because I have a relationship with Jesus. And I want to come together with other people that have a relationship with Jesus. So that we can praise Him and worship Him corporately as one body. And lift our hearts and our hands and our voices to Him. And let Him know how much we love Him and thank Him for what He's done for you and me. Church, it serves as a reminder for us. It serves as a way for us to come together and remind one another what it means to be a Christian. Whenever I come to church and I've had a bad day or I've had a bad week, I can look at a brother or sister and I can see the joy of the Lord in their heart, and it can lift me up. It can bring exhortation. It can bring encouragement to me. I've been in services before when I knew that I wasn't doing things exactly the way that I needed to, and I could look at a brother or sister and they would stand up and they'd testify and say, you know, I'd had all these problems and I'd faced these difficulties, but God brought me through. And it would lift me up. I had a pastor one time. He had come to the Lord. Said he woke up on a Sunday morning and he just felt something. He never had an experience with Jesus. He never had anything to do with God, but he woke up on a Sunday morning. And he said, there was something bearing heavy on my soul that I needed to take my family and we needed to drive. He said, we got in the car and we began to drive. And he said, we came by this little church. And he said, something told me, pull in there. He said, we pulled in and they come in. I was just a little bitty guy at this time. They came into our church, sat down on the back pew. A message was preached, songs were sung, and he come down and gave his heart to Jesus and became one of the strongest men of God I ever knew in my life until he passed away. Church, listen to me. There's people on the outside that are looking for something. There's people outside these doors that are looking for something real, that are looking for something that can fill that void in their heart. And it's up to you and me to be God's voice outside, to bring them in. It's important for us to do the jobs that we have in the church. But church, listen to me. More importantly, it's important for us to do the jobs on the outside of the church. We got to understand, yes, there's going to be some that will come in. And God can move with them and come into their hearts and lives. But sometimes it takes us going out and finding them. Jesus said one time, which of you having 99 sheep that are all fine and dandy, but have one that's lost and gone out, how many of you wouldn't go find it? And when you find it, you come back rejoicing. Listen, there's people out there that need someone to come to them. There's people out there that need someone to come and introduce Christ to them. You say, oh, I get nervous and I get scared. Listen, just live your life before them. Live the life of Christ before them. Listen, church, there have been more people that have approached me before and said, I want to know what's different about you. I want to know what it is that makes you different than everybody else. Every time I see you, you've got a smile on your face. You're whistling some song. There's just something that's different about you. I don't hear filth coming out of your mouth. I don't see you lose your temper and throw things and get aggravated. What is it that's different about you? And I can say, Jesus Christ saved me one day. That's the only thing that's different, church. It's not something within myself that I've built or that I've planted, but it's because Jesus lives here. And that's what people in the world need to see today. I urge you this morning, if you're one of these who when God's Spirit begins to move, you just go up and you just want to have just a little bit, go a little bit deeper. Go a little bit deeper. Church, listen to me. As the old song says, we're not home yet, children. Keep your eyes on the Savior. I don't believe that there ever comes a time in a Christian's life where our relationship is fulfilled this side of heaven. I believe that Sister Mildred, as long as she's been walking with the Lord, she'd tell you there's never a time where she's come to a point where she said, well, I've arrived. I'm here now. So now I'm just going to wait around. No, church, it's a progressive relationship that continues to grow and get closer and closer and closer until we take that final breath. And then it's fulfilled. If you're one of these that you're satisfied with it ankle deep, move out to your knees. If you're in your knees right now and you feel God's presence, move up to your lungs. Let Him fully saturate your spirit with His presence. And then you can begin to be a powerhouse for God. Listen, these ministers and these preachers and these teachers and these deacons and different ones who've been in this thing for so long, they're not as strong in God as what they are because of the fact that they just sat by and did nothing. They progressed, they moved forward, and they got deeper into Jesus. And that's what it's going to take for us, church. That's what it's going to take for me. That's what it's going to take for you. That's what it's going to take for all of us. If we are going to bring everything we can, and if we, as Brother Kurt said, are going to bring all we've got and present everything that we have, we're going to have to get out in the deep end and let God fill us up. Let us stand all over the house this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, ask if they would to sing a verse or two this morning. If you're here, and first of all, if you don't know who Jesus is as your Savior, that is the most important decision that you'll ever make. See, I have an advantage being just a minister and not your pastor. I haven't gotten to know too many of you on a real close personal level. So I don't know who is saved and who's not. But you know what? Even beyond that, Brother Greg, he doesn't know who of you are saved and who aren't. Because it's all about you and God. If you're here this morning and you don't know who Jesus is as your personal Savior, if you feel God's Spirit dealing with you, now's the time to come down to this altar and be born into the family of God. That's the most important thing. Number two, if you're a backslider, you say, what is that, preacher? A backslider is someone who once walked close with God, but you've drawn back for some reason. You've let the things of the world come back in and take His place, or you found yourself not as close as you used to be. And you want to be closer. This invitation is for you. And lastly, if you're a child of God, but you say, preacher, I've been satisfied with just a little bit and I need a little bit more, then this invitation is for you. Church, listen to me. Don't turn away from God. Don't turn away when He's dealing with your heart and with your life. Don't turn away from Him.